Joshua chapter 24. And verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Book of Judges, please, chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. 1 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, rather. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then the chapter continues with some very interesting details of how this is to be carried out. Now upon our heart this morning is simply this: the danger of a lost generation. We've read of this in the book of Judges. There arose another generation that knew not God. Joshua had passed on. The elders of Israel had passed on. Another generation had arisen, and they did not carry on the work that was started by the Lord, passed on to Joshua, to the elders, and now passed on to them. They had missed that which was entrusted to them. That generation missed the truth of God, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and there was a deep declension after that. A missed generation. And so we have the words in 2 Timothy chapter 2 of the truth of God that has been entrusted to us and passed on from one generation to another. As you have often likely heard, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have the generations from Paul to Timothy, and to those that were faithful brethren, and to others that would carry this message after them. There was an entrustment of the truth of God that would be passed on from one hand to another, one generation to another, and the importance of not missing the baton, if you will, that is passed on as the runners race, and they're going one after another, passing on in that relay race, the baton passed on to them just for a brief moment as two runners pass on to each other, the entrusted baton from one hand to another. I remember my high school days having to do this, and the coach used to say, make sure you get a hold of the baton and hang on and then carry it. And so this is the message that Paul has here as he's writing to Timothy. He says, make sure you get a hold of the truth of God and carry it and pass it on from that generation to the next. And so we're here today that we might seek by the help of God just to pass on a little of the things from one generation to another. We're not going to be here that much longer, and there's another generation coming on. And what are we going to pass on to them, brethren? Our brother has been speaking of the wonders of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you got the force of his message. He was intending to get across to us that we get a hold of the person of the Lord Jesus and all that he means to us so that we might be able to grasp that person and pass it on to others. And this seems to be the thought that we have here. As Paul mentions here in Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men which shall be able to teach others also. What were these things? He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It was an entrustment to him and to those that were coming after him of the person of the Lord Jesus and all that he would mean to them. That which was grace on God's part, he had entrusted to them a great gift. And that gift has all to do with the person of the Lord Jesus. And we're here this morning to seek to encourage our hearts to hang on to the truth of God that concerns the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and all he means to us. It all is embracive in this truth of God, just like the baton that is to be passed on from one generation to another intact. Not pieces of it, but passed it on intact so that the truth of God might pass on from one generation to another. And so it's the thought of a deposit here, the same commit thou intact to faithful men, that'll be men who would be trustworthy, so that they would be taking that which was entrusted to them as a trust so that they might pass it on to others and not lose it by the way. And so that they might be able to teach others also. They would be teachable and be able to pass on that which they had been entrusted to them and be able to pass on in a teachable way the things of God to others. Now, the question is, what is it that we are passing on? What is it that Paul is speaking of here as an entrustment that is to be passed on? The truth of God in its entirety. I would like you to notice that it has to do with the great mystery of godliness that he's been speaking of already in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Great is that mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You know, there's something of an awesome character as we consider the greatness of the person of the Lord Jesus. I hope we never lose the awesomeness of his greatness. To think that he came from heaven, he came into this world, he died upon the cross, he has ascended, he's gone back to glory, he's with us, and he's in our midst. He's the center of our assembly gatherings as the awesome person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This great mystery that concerns him, what a wonderful thing it is to be occupied with this as we pass this on. Brethren and sisters, we are concerned this morning about the Lord Jesus and the greatness of what he has entrusted to us. His person, his work, all about him. It is a wonderful thing to be entrusted with this and that we might seek to embrace it, absorb it, be wondered at, and that the very awesomeness of it might reach our souls so that when we're passing on to others that are coming along, the effect that the Lord Jesus has had upon our own lives deeply may be passed on with deep exercise to others. I'd like you to notice that it embraces the truths of the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Simple, basic, simple truths concerning the person of the Lord Jesus are necessary to be passed on now. Sometimes we listen to men and supposedly preaching the gospel, and you would hardly discern the gospel message in their message. Why? Because they have left the simple, plain pattern that we have here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brethren, let us pass on these simple messages of the gospel. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Get it in your message. And he was buried. Make sure it's there. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen. These truths, so precious, yet how often not really emphasized in our gospel preaching. I would like you to notice he's passing on now the truths of believers' baptism as it is released and given to us in the scriptures. How do we know about baptism? The Lord Jesus taught it to his disciples. He himself was baptized. Matthew chapter 28, he said, teach and pass on these simple things to others. And the baptism that the Lord Jesus taught for his believers is what God passes on to us. And this is something that we must pass on to others. And maybe there's those in our gathering this morning. Maybe you've trusted the Savior, never yet been baptized. Well, the Scripture tells us, and I hope to get a hold of it from Matthew chapter 28, teaching us to observe all things whatsoever I have told you. And the all things embraces baptism, taking your place as dead to this world and alive to God. How precious it is, the truths of baptism. And the person of the Holy Spirit of God, the acts of the Spirit of God, if you will, are to be passed on to us. How he works, his claims, his gathering power as he gathers his people together. What is it that binds God's people together? What is it that draws them to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Spirit of God, he is the gatherer. And so how precious it is that the person and the work of the Holy Spirit of God be passed on to others that are coming that we might appreciate. In a meeting like this, we profess and trust that God will have His way, that His Spirit might guide us in our assembly gatherings, in our conference gatherings, and that His power might be with us during these meetings as such. And the Church of God, that which is embracive of the truth concerning the body of the Lord Jesus, as he spoke of it in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church. And the church of God locally, as he spoke of it in Matthew chapter 18. And these two aspects of a local and the body aspect of the church is so important to be passed on. I would like you to notice, dear brothers and sisters, that these truths are different. And yet they are so similar that sometimes we do not discern between them two. The truth of the body aspect of the Lord Jesus, the building that he's made, is that spiritual aspect of the church, which embraces every believer from the beginning of the day of Pentecost and will do until the Lord comes. Many of them are already in heaven. And so it's the spiritual aspect of that great church that he's building. Ephesians chapter 2 is a reminder to us of that great aspect of his building. And yet, when it comes to locally, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, is different. It is a local setting. It is here where elders function. It is here where individuals are seen in a local assembly, such as is here in Niagara Falls. And so there is a difference that we might discern between them. I hope, brethren and sisters, we know the difference. And I hope we understand the difference. And we don't try to impress upon the Lord's people the aspect of the body of Christ and try to work this into our local assembly gatherings. because it just doesn't work. You see, the local assembly is not just a miniature of the body of Christ in its larger aspect. It is distinct. It is a local assembly of God. And if we don't get a hold of this, then we're not passing on to the coming generation that which is the plan of God and His purposes for us. I would like you to think of the behavior that is to be passed on as Timothy is given to it here. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 2, and the behavior and the godliness that characterizes God's people is something to be passed on. And so when it comes to our dress, our deportment, our behavior, how the elders work in the assembly of God, how the deacons carry on for God, our service is all outlined in the Scripture. And so we have it in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and chapter 3. We have it in 1 Peter chapter 3. We have the Word of God that concerns our deportment and our exercises before God. And this should be a very particular thing for us to get a hold on, to pass on. And the Lord's return. How precious it is that this truth, so precious to us, is that before our meeting is over this morning, we could be at home with the Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The wonders of the rapture of the church, that which we are looking for. Help us, Lord, to grab hold upon it. Help us to pass it on to others that the Lord is coming. And then the great manifestation of the Lord in glory as He's coming to be passed on. We are looking forward to the kingdom of God that's coming. And the Lord Jesus is going to be the center theme of it all. And we shall be with Him. And so the wonders of this is to be passed on intact to those that are passing and coming after us. The revelation of His person. When we come to the revelation, the book of the revelation, it is not so much the revelation of events, but the revelation of the person. When we think of the unfolding of the prophetic truths in the Scripture concerning the person of the Lord Jesus, it is thrilling. As we think of what God has for us, and that there are different dispensations in the Scripture, may the Lord help us to differentiate between them, and the dispensation that we are living in. And that day which is to come, when the Lord Jesus will have His way. What a precious thing it is, all embraced in these truths. It is like the baton that is being passed on to us. I hope, brethren and sisters, you get a good hold of it. In this modern day, there is a question. What are we going to do with the old? And how are we going to take the new? We live in Perth. Next Saturday, they are going to have a collection of old, discarded electronic pieces of equipment that you can take down to the landfill site and dispose of them next Saturday morning. You know, when this notice came to my house, I thought, well, all that old equipment upstairs in the closet. I went and got it out. And I put it on the bed, and I thought, well, is this worth keeping? I can't get parts for it. I can't get paper for it. That's got to go. And what about this? Is this going to go? Well, this is pretty good. Got to keep this. There's still value here. And so there came a point of decision in my mind. What am I going to do next Saturday morning with the old equipment? Do you know what that is? You've all got likely a lot of it around your house, and the question is what to do with it. And I asked the computer people, what do we do with this? And they said, we don't know. Just put it in the garbage, see if they'll take it. And now they're going to take it to the landfill site. But the question that really is upon my heart this morning is, what are we going to do? The question comes, is there a time of discarding the old? And what are we going to do with the new? You know what I mean. The old principles of the Scripture. And the new teachings that are coming among us. What are we going to do with them? And so just like I had to do, take a good look at them and say, is there value here? If there isn't, we can afford to let it go. If it's old and yet there is value in it, then hang on to it for God. And so this principle comes to us when it comes to the truth of God that we've been speaking about. How are we going to determine? We're living in days when many of the Christians are saying, let us eject some of these old truths because they don't seem relevant to the day in which we're living. But we have here before us the whole Word of God. How are we going to determine what to keep? This is going to be the foundation for us to hang on to. What has God said? Is this in the Scriptures? Is the plan of our gathering precious to the Lord? Is what we have in the Word of God worth keeping? Brethren, when it comes to the gospel, thank God it's all worth keeping. When it comes to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all worth keeping. We can't afford to discard any of it. When it comes to the truths of the local assembly, they're all worth keeping. We cannot discard any of it. When it comes to the truths of our behavior and our deportment, we cannot take and pick and choose and say, well, this suits me and that doesn't. If God says it, that is the end of it. Let us keep it. It's all in the truth of God as a baton to be passed on to us. And when it comes to the truths of God in connection with the local assembly, how precious they are. May the Lord preserve us. We're living in days when it's an easy thing to stay home from the meetings. And it seems to be a plague that's crossing our nation and likely to the south of us too. Sunday morning only, showing up for the breaking of bread. And when it comes to the weeknight meetings, letting them go by, really it's not too important, the Bible reading. After all, we don't seem to get too much out of it. Well, how much did you put into it? When it comes to the prayer meeting, it's really not too important to be there. We're living in the Edison age when we seem to be rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So we can eject the prayer meeting. We can eject the Bible reading. But we better hang on to the breaking of bread because after all, that's what the Lord asks us to do. Is that all we say? All these meetings of the local assembly, He has promised to be there. You know, sometimes I look around the prayer meeting and see how few there show up, and I ask myself the question, do my fellow believers, have they really got a hold of this, that the Lord is here tonight, just as much as He is on Sunday morning when we gather around the emblems? Are we letting those things go? Do we think of the thing that we can discard these truths as we have held on to them? Generations that are coming, I hope you get a hold of this. Hang on to that which is of God. Search the Scriptures yourself. Get a hold of it firmly in your hand. It's not what brother so-and-so says that matters. It's what God says. And if I get a hold of it from the Lord myself, you'll not easily let it go. And so it is a very important thing for us to realize the importance of the old. And when we see and hear the new things that are coming in,
we might ask ourselves the question, what is the value of the new? What should we do with some of these new things that we hear coming in among us? Try the spirits, says Peter. Put them to the test. Where have they come from? Do they magnify the Lord Jesus? Do they give Him His place? Are they exalting the local assembly gathering? Are they trying to pull it to pieces? Try the spirits. Put them to the test. And if they don't pass the test, then discard them. Because this is what we must hang on to. It is the truth of God. May the Lord help us so that we might understand in our little lifetime the importance. As I look upon your faces, some of you younger brethren and sisters, you're going to be carrying the torch of testimony for God if the Lord be not come in the days to come. And into your hand is put the truth of God. May God help us to pass it on intact. May God help you to get a hold of it intact so that you might hang on to it. So that you might be able to pass it on as something has been entrusted to you to others if the Lord be not come. May the Lord help us to appreciate the danger of one lost generation.